And we're holding on the last line of Mvovo Mvez. So we'll have to see if we can manage to catch up, Danny. We're in the middle of discussing a story from Melachim Beis with Elisha. The gist of it, Yaakov, you weren't here last night, so to recap the story, Elisha, shortly after he's been appointed the head Navi, after Eliyahu went up to Shemayim, he's in the city of Yericho. The people tell him it's a great place to live, but the water here is lousy, it's making people sick. He takes some salt and throws it into the water, and the water is healed. Afterwards, he's leaving the city, some Na'orim Ketanim, which we discussed in the Gemara yesterday, what that means, Na'orim on the face of it means young men, Ketanim means boys, so what were they? We discussed the pros and cons, what that meant. Menorah Menat Mitzvahs, or for Ketanim, as in they acted like Ketanim, whatever it was, yeah, started making fun of him and telling him, Alei Kereach, get out of here, Baldy, Sheikh Rachta, Leinah Samachim, you made the place bold for us because we used to supply water to the city and get paid for it, and now we don't. He turns around, by Kalalim, Hashem Hashem, he curses them in Nebuchadnezzar's name, and bears come out of the forest and devour a bunch of them. Yeah. So, continuing with the story, last line of involvement base. The pasuk says two bears came out of the forest and devoured or broke open of them 42 of these yeladim. So we'll get to the significance of the number 42 soon. But first, when the pasuk says that two bears came out of the forest, what was the nest here? Rabu Shmuel, chadam a nest, chadam a nest b'seich nest. Rav and Shmuel disagree. One says there was a nest, and the other one says there was a nest within a nest. Namely, Mandom, a nest, he holds Yar Hava Durbum Lehavu. He says there was already a forest there. There weren't any bears in it. So the nest was that all of a sudden bears came out of there where there weren't any before. The Mefarshim point out the reason why the Gemara has to assume it was some kind of nest, first of all, it is listed among his Nissim. So it can't just have been a standard thing that there were already bears there. But besides that, if there were bears there, for example, if it was a dangerous place where bears are known to lurk, what's Elisha doing going there, especially by himself, as we said yesterday with Avlavia, has to be that it wasn't normally a dangerous place. All of a sudden, bears come out of there. So one says there was a forest, there weren't any bears in it. Mandom and nest, b'seich nest. The one who says there was a nest within a nest, he says, lo yar hava v'lo drubim havu. There was neither a forest nor bears, and they just created them all on the spot. This is, by the way, where they got the famous, the popular expression and the popular modern Hebrew expression, lo dubim v'lo yar, where they use it in the sense of, like, the thing never happened. Here, the Gemara is not using it in that sense. It just means none of that ever existed before they wished to create it there on the spot. Okay, the question is, v'lehevet dubim v'lehevet yar, why? Why shouldn't, if there wasn't a forest there in the first place, why didn't they wish to just create the bears and no need for a forest? The answer is d'b'isi. But then so Rashi says the Be'isi is referring to the bears. The Be'isi means they'd be afraid. The bears would be afraid to attack people. If they have a forest to retreat to nearby, then they'll be bold enough to attack a group of people like this. But if they're out in the open, no place to run away, then they wouldn't. So in order for it to happen, that they'd be bold enough to attack then and devour people, there had to be a forest. Marshall takes it the other way around. Be'isi is referring to the Na'orim. These 42 people who were killed, if there hadn't been a forest there, they would see the bears coming and they'd run away. In order for them to get what's coming to them, then the bears had to be camouflaged by the forest until all of a sudden.
That's the northern Israelites.
No, this was actually in southern Israel. This was near Yericho. But so what, though? It depends what you define as a forest. I mean, we're not necessarily talking a forest of pine trees or something, you know. We're talking whatever kind of tree, a forest of whatever kind of trees grow in that part of the world. But, well, there used to be a lot, I mean, we could talk about this a long time, but whatever, there used to be a lot more wild animals in Eretz Yisrael than there are now. We find in many places in Sinai that lions were common. Nowadays, there are no lions in the entire Middle East except in zoos, etc.
So it was forested before?
Apparently, there was a forested area there, yeah. Because of the 42 korbanos that Balak brought, because three times he went with Bilam to find places to curse the Yidden, each place Bilam told him, set up a mizbeach and bring seven parim and seven elim, so seven and seven times three is 42. Because of that, and therefore 42 Jewish children or Jewish young men or whatever were ripped up by bears. Meaning, in other words, basically that was, so to speak, his reward. What was he after? He was after to curse the Jewish people. Therefore, it had its effect these many generations later, these hundreds of years later, that it had the effect. And when I say, is that so? You're telling me that was his scar? A person should always do Torah and mitzvahs, even shaloi l'shma, shematoch shaloi l'shma bo l'shma, because from doing it shaloi l'shma, you'll come to doing it l'shma. And I'll give you an example. Shabbishara, boy Mishnaim Kabanas, Shirka Balak Malach Maya, but the source of the 42 Kabanas, that Balak, well, Zach of a Yatsim Menor Rus, so that he had the source that they descended from him Rus, Shayatsim Menor Shloima, which in turn Shloima was descended from her, Shakasabain, about Shloima it says, Elof Oilis, Yala Shloima, that Shloima brought 1,000 Kabanas in one day on the Mizbeach and Givay. So in other words, we see that that was Balak's reward for his 42 Kabanas. The Amr of Yosef ben Choni, also Rabbi Yosef ben Choni says, what was the exact chain of descent? Rus bitte shel Eglon b'noi shel Balak haisa. Rus was the daughter of Eglon, who was the son of Balak. Doesn't matter necessarily mean literally a daughter and literally a son. From Balak until Rus is according to the usual way that we understand it was several hundred years. Rus was generally, Boaz is identified as the shofet Yiv's son, who was about 300 years after the Yiv that entered Eretz Yisrael. But not necessarily that we're talking literally father and daughter and father and son. It can mean descendants. Anyway, the point is that Ruth was descended from Balak, and that was his heart. The answer is Tavosim Yil Klale, Habi, true, but after all, he was trying for a Klale. He wanted to reduce Jewish people. So in other words, there were kind of two aspects here. On the one hand, he's bringing Korbanos, which is a good thing, and because of that, he had a descendant Shlomo HaMelech. On the other hand, he also had a bad intention, and therefore that also eventually came to fruition also when there were people, as we discussed yesterday, where they were conceived in Avedis, they had no mitzvahs, etc., then that was there was room for that evil intention of his to come to pass.
He didn't know that Shlomo would come up.
No, he didn't. He didn't know anything. He figured he's bringing the 42 Korbanos to get Bilam to be able to curse the Jewish people so that their numbers will be reduced. But nevertheless, the fact that he brought Korbanos to the Eidishter is a great thing. So.
He would have brought them if he'd
known. That may well be. Okay, yeah. No, but okay, it's a total mitzvah. That's what we're saying. It's a general thing. And in this case, it's a mitzvah.
Isn't that the exact meaning of the cause of Bilam turning to Bracha?
Yeah, indeed. Okay. Continuing.
Well, fine, fair enough.
I mean, there is a distinction between the different kinds of Shalom Lishma, but I mean, you know, authority is a good, right? You know, his Shalom Lishma is different than a Yid Shalom Lishma, but yeah. Okay. Continuing with the story, going back further in the story of Elisha and the people of Yericho, the pasuk says, "Vayomru anshei ir al Elisha." The people of the city said to Elisha, "Hinin amoshe va'ir tov kasher adoni ro'eh." You have a gemara. You see that the settlement of the city is very good, as you see, but the water is bad. So if the water is bad and the ground and the earth over there is making people miscarry, elamatzevasa. So what's the good of the place? What do I mean? It's a good place, but. Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how do you like the play? The expression goes, you know. Yes, but a place has a certain gracefulness and a certain beauty to the people who live there. Even if it's bad, even if it's a bad place, the people who live there think of it as good. In fact, there's three such kinds of chen. Chen makam al yoshvav, there's a chen that a place has on the people who live there. Chen isha al baila, and the chen that a woman has for her husband. Even some not all wives are beautiful. Some of them are not downright ugly, but their husbands love them. Chen mekach al mekachai, and the chen that a purchase has for the one who bought it. Again, objectively, it may be bad, but the person who bought it has a certain liking for it. So Marsha points out what's the need for those three chains. We said before, we brought before that at the beginning of the Masechta, we said that Aboim Yev Kone Mitzias of Lav, the Bastol that comes out and says Bast Plony Leplony, Sada Plony Leplony. And yesterday, Gemara had said that other Medishin had decided and predetermined for every place in the world what kind of place is going to be. Are there going to be palm trees? Are there going to be barren, etc.? So therefore, you need there to be a chain Amokam Yoshua, so that what other Medishin decided, this place should be inhabited, that it should come to pass. And because you have the Baskel that comes out and says Bask Plenty the Plenty and Sada Plenty the Plenty, again, you have to have, there must be that Plenty has a certain love, has a certain attraction for her, even if objectively he shouldn't, and he has a certain attraction to that field or other purchase, even though objectively he shouldn't. Turn it up on.
You want to learn here, we don't understand, we have a
move. Okay. Aren't we going to disturb you?
Finish with your
father. No. Okay.
Leave
them all.
Right?
No, it's not enough. We're in a different room, but okay. All right. I need to pause. We'll be out there in a second. Usually you have a bigger crowd than that. Turn it up on the Shloisha Chaloyin Chola Elisha. There were three times in his life when Elisha got sick. Echot Shadira Drubim B'tinoiket, one because he incited these bears against these boys that we talked about. The Echot Shadokha Legechazi B'shteyadayim, another one because he pushed away Gechazi with both hands, but he didn't give him a chance to any opening to be able to come back, which the Gemara will describe that story soon. The Echot Shemesba, and another one which he finally died from. Kenema, the Pasuk says, Elisha Chola Eschol Yasha Yomesba. Elisha, it says, at the end of his life, got sick with the sickness from which he died. So we dash Chola. So we dash Chola is one, Cholyo is two, and Asha Yomesba is three. So what does it mean that he was sick these three times? Well, some of us say it's the first two times a matter of punishment because he incited the bears against these children, which he shouldn't have, therefore he was punished for the sickness for a while. Same thing with Gechazi. Different other explanations are that he himself felt, as Malbim brings, that he himself felt so bad after these two things that he fell sick. And then there's also a verse that some of us say that maybe what it is he accepted the sickness that he asserted on himself in order to be mechaper for them, that these boys that ended up being ripped up by the bears should at least have Arlam Haba, that Gechazi should at least have something, whether he had Arlam Haba. Actually, the Gemara discusses in Sanhedrin, he's listed as one of the seven who lost their place in Arlam Haba, but the Gemara discusses the pros and cons of it over there. Because of what we'll see as we go through the story over here. Most of what we have in the next 30 lines of Gemara is also in Sanhedrin. Turn it up on him. La'olam takes mel derchavim in mekarevis. You should always, the left hand should push away and the right hand should bring close, meaning the left hand is weaker, the right hand is stronger. So you do have to push away somebody a little bit, but you have to bring them closer more. Loike Elisha Shadokha the Gechazi Bishteyadav, not like Elisha who pushed away Gechazi with both hands, but like Yeshuvan Prachya Shadokha the Echavan Talmidim Bishteyadav, and not like Yeshuvan Prachya who pushed away one of his Talmidim with both hands, and in the margin notes on the side, it says it's really supposed to say Yeshua Notri, but the censors took it out. There are a lot of additions. The common editions of the Gemara have this whole piece about Yeshuvan Prachya, and the common missing completely. This edition of the Gemara at least to put it back in, but yeah. Whether that Yeshua Notri. Well, whether that Yeshua HaNotzri is the famous one that the Christians worship as a whole, it's not so simple, actually. Rabbi Chiel of Paris, right, he said in the famous Bikurach that he had against the priests and whatever in Paris in the year Heilofim, he says that, no, it's not the same person, because, for one thing, Yeshua ben Prachya was in the middle of the time of the Second Beit HaMikdash. Their guy, their Yeshua HaNotzri, lived towards the end of the Second Beit HaMikdash, so it can't be the same person. So the Ramban, on the other hand, in another Vikuach, 20-odd years later, takes the opposite view. He says that, no, as a matter of fact, it is the same person, but the Christians artificially claim that he lived 100 years later than he really did. Really, he lived in the time of Yeshua ben Prachya, as the Gemara is saying over here, but the Christians claim falsely that he lived 100 years later. Because they wanted to be able to claim that his Mikdash was destroyed as a punishment for not accepting him. Which, if he had lived in the middle of the second Mikdash, wouldn't make sense. Okay, anyway. A lot of ink has been spilled on this whole issue, yeah. Okay, Elisha Mai, where do we see that Elisha pushed away Gechazi with both hands? Gichtiv, now you have like this. So the beginning of the story is after Parshat Tzadzriya. Naaman, an Arami general, has Taras. The Narach Tana that Gemara mentioned yesterday, advises his wife, who in turn advises Naaman, go to the Navi in Eretz Yisrael, so he'll be able to help him. He goes, Elisha sends out a messenger, go to the Yarden and dip seven times in there, you'll become Tahar. Naaman starts going away in a huff. I thought he was going to come out to me, etc. His attendants would never convince him, you know what, go along with it, what do you got to lose? He dips in the Yarden, cured. So he comes back, he's overjoyed, he wants to give Elisha all kinds of presents, and Elisha refuses to accept anything. And Naaman becomes a Ger Toshev. He says, from now on, I'm not going to worship any other god, I'm only going to worship the Jewish god. And he leaves. Now, that's where the Haftarah ends, the Haftarah of Tzadzriya. Next part is what the Gemara is going to be focusing on over here, is Gechazi says to himself, you know what? What a pity that guy left with all that wealth. I could use some of it. He starts running after, he runs after Naaman. What's the matter? Two new Talmidim just came to the yeshiva, and Elisha needs food and clothes and whatever for them. We have more Gemara than the other room, actually. We need food and clothes for them. So he needs some silver. He needs some suits. So actually, Naaman, the Gemara mentions in Erchin that Naaman was a little suspicious. First the Lisha telling me I don't want anything. Now all of a sudden he's sitting with Talmud. So he says, I want you to swear that you're telling the truth. And he does. He swears falsely. The Gemara in Erchin actually says. Yeah, the Gemara in Erchin actually says, there's a bunch of reasons why a person can get tzaraas. One of them is a shavua shav. We learn that from this story. Anyway, so once he's sworn, okay, Naaman figures it's on the up and up. He gives him a lot of stuff. Gechazi takes it home, and now that's where that's where we'll resume the Gemara. Here, just the first line of the wide lines. Vayomer Naaman, hoyo kach Ephraim, please accept and take two kicker. You only wanted one kicker for the Talmidim. Take two. Now, the hoyo, by the way, is where the Gemara learns that there was a shvur involved. Hoyo maloshen hola. Anyway, uchtiv, and then the pasuk says, few pesukim later, so it says, Gehazi has taken everything and stashed it away in his house. Then he goes to the Beis Medrash like nothing's the matter. Elisha sees him, and he says, and he asks him, where were you? Nowhere special. Vayomer Elav, and Elisha gives it to him. Loy libi holach, didn't my heart go with you, kasha hopach ishmael makab to the krotcha, when that man turned around on his chariot to see you? I know exactly what happened. And you've destroyed the Kiddush Hashem. I made a Kiddush Hashem by healing the Bukui. You made it into a mercy and everything. Is this a time to be taking silver? Godim to take clothes, and orchards of olives and vineyards, the tzoyin ubakar and sheep and cattle, and maids and slaves and maidservants. So the question is, I didn't take all those things. Kesavu got him with a shop. He took silver and he took clothes. What is Elisha giving him a whole catalog? At that point, when Gehazi walked into Beis Medrash, Elisha was teaching Shmoneh Shratzim. There's a perek in Shabbos that begins Shmoneh Shratzim. He was teaching the topics of that perek. So now he turns to him and he says, Rosha, dear ace, little schar shmoneh shratzim. You know what? Now is the time. You're going to get the reward for the Torah that you learned, the shmoneh shratzim that you learned, which therefore, yes, you will eventually have from the silver and clothes, you'll be able to sell some of it, you'll be able to buy vineyards and olives and this and that and the other. But the tzaraas Naaman, chidrak v'chov v'zarach ha'la'olam, the tzaraas of Naaman will stick to you and your descendants forever. And that's what happened. That's the pushing away with both hands. He didn't even give him a chance to return. And in fact, one of the Mahoshim points out, he has tzaraas. He can't even come back into the city to ever ask mechila. That's pushing him away with both hands.
What about Zara? What did they do wrong?
They were involved. They helped him stash it away.
It's the second time he did something.
That's what they were saying. That it's first with the Ne'arim, and now with Gechazi, yeah. One of the Mepharshim, by the way, says an interesting thing. What's the connection of Perek Shemayna Shiratim? Because that Perek has the statement that Kola Oral Diri Chachamim is Chayav Misa. So Elisha tells him, by rights, you should be Chayav Misa, but I'll do you a favor and instead Mitzor Lachoshu Kumeth. But still, it was it. And later on, when the Pasuk says, Ba'ba Nashim Hoyu Mitzorayim, there were four men at the beginning of the Vatara Parashat Mitzor, there were four men who were Mitzorayim by the gates of Shomer, and who are they? Amar Bechon, and they're Gechazi, Rishloish is Banab, it's Gechazi and his three sons. Okay. Because that's how many sons he had. Okay. Later on, that's a different thing, yeah. Okay. Later on, a few prokim later, the pasuk says Vayelach Elisha Damesek. Actually, the Lashon HaPasuk is Vayavay Elisha Damesek. So the question is, Loma Holach, what did he go to Damesek for? Now, in Damesek, the pasuk described the whole thing. He met over there with Chazoel, one of the courtiers of the king of Aram, and told him, you're going to be the next king. But the question is, Vayavay Elisha Damesek implies that he went there for some other purpose, and then when he came there, then he met up with Chazoel. So what did he go there originally for? He went to try and get Gehazi to do tshuva, but Gehazi didn't want to do tshuva. So Elisha tells him, Chazer b'cha, do tshuva. So Gehazi tells him, no, kach mekublani mimcha, I have the Kabbalah from you, that kol mi shechotzer v'hechti yisirabim, anybody who sinned and caused other people to sin, ein maspikim b'yadei la'asas tshuva, the Eibishter will not give him a chance to do tshuva. Therefore he figured, I'm hopeless. Now he was wrong in that. Ein maspikim b'yadei la'asas tshuva, the Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya, it doesn't mean he can never do tshuva. It means the Rambam describes it also in Hilchos Tshuva. It doesn't mean he can't do tshuva. It means the Eibishter won't give him opportunities to. But in dochat v'nichnas, the person can push his way through and do tshuva. He could.
Was he Machtias Arabim?
How is he Machtias Arabim? My Ovad, what did he do? Ikdamri, so some say, Evan She'evas Tolol El-Chates Yerobam, he attached magnets onto the Chet of Yerobam, meaning the Egwe Azov that Yerobam had set up 100 years earlier. Then made Ben Shemayim La'aretz, and he made it suspended between heaven and earth. In other words, he attached magnets to the Egel, he attached magnets to the walls or the ceiling or whatever of the room where it was in. So all of a sudden, it's because of the magnets, it will start exploding in the air or attached to the ceiling or whatever. And everybody figured it's a godly thing now, and therefore more people worship it even than before.
Was it out of spite or what?
Yeah, whatever it is, yeah. The Ikadamri, another version, Shem Chokach La'afuma, he carved out a name of Hashem on the mouth of the Edel, and then it started calling out from the power of that Shem, the Dibre Sanoich and Yerle Yerloch. So again, many people thought that now it's a legitimate thing. Yeah, that was he threw it into the Egel and into the original Egel Azal Flyer. This is a different kind of thing, yeah. This is carving a Shem on it, yeah. The Ikadamri, and a third possibility, Rabbanan Docha Mekameh, he pushed away potential Talmidim from learning by Elisha. Why? Because after Gehazi's disgrace, which is in Perek Hay of Malachim Beis, Perek Vav begins, Vayomer B'nei Anavim El Elisha, the B'nei Anavim say to Elisha, Hine Na'amakim Asher Anachnu Yoshuvim Shamos Anachat Savimenu, this place where we're sitting in front of you to learn is too small for us, let's go build a new Beis Medrash. So why all of a sudden now? Up until now it wasn't crowded. Why? Because of Gehazi returned away and potential new Talmidim. But now that he's gone, all of a sudden everybody's coming in and the place is crowded. This is in the times of Elisha, in the middle of the second and the middle of the first Beis Medrash.
Yeah, but it was not before, it was not in the Midbar, sometimes people have...
No, that's not as far as I know. Okay. Yeshua ben Prachemai, what was the story of Yeshua ben Prachemai and pushing away Ois Echon Metamidu of Yeshua and Oisri with both hands? The story is like this. At one point when Yanei HaMelech, one of the kings from later Chashmonaim, was killing the Rabbanan, the Gemara Kedushin has the whole story that he had a falling out with them because he felt that they're going to oppose him because of an issue with his descent. He may not be a genuine Kohen, whatever. It's a long story over there in Kedushin, how one of the Tzedukim convinced him to fall out with the Chachamim and to kill them. Shimon and Shatach Achminu Atminu Achse. So Shimon and Shatach was hidden by his sister, who was the queen, Shloim Tzion, Yana's wife. Rabbi Shimon Prachio also Olach Alexander Shamitzrayim. And Rabbi Shimon Prachio, who was a Nasi at that time, ran away to Alexandria in Egypt. Kihava Shlomo, when things calmed down, when there was peace, Shalach by Shimon and Shatach. So Shimon and Shatach, who was his Talmud, sent a message to him. He didn't want to send him openly because you never know who the message might fall into the hands of. So he sent him a little bit in code. Mini Yerushalayim Ira Kodesh, Loch Alexander Shamitzrayim, from me Yerushalayim Ira Kodesh to you Alexandria in Egypt. Achosi, my sister, because Alexandria was a very important Jewish community in those days. It was like the New York of those times. Yeah. So Achosi, my sister, Bali Shori B'Seichich, my husband is living among you, meaning Yeshua ben Prachia is like the husband of Yerushalayim, because he's a Nasi. Vani Yeshevas Shemema, and I'm sitting here desolate. I need I Yerushalayim, I'm sitting desolate, I need my husband back. Omar, so Yeshua ben Prachia realized, Shemami no Havalei Shlomo. Okay, evidently then there must be peace, things have calmed down, it's safe to return. So he comes on his way back. Ki also, as he's coming, Ikla Lahu Shpiza, he stops off at an inn. Kom Kamayo B'Ikara, Shafir. So the innkeeper stood in front of them with great respect, Abdullah Yakaratova, and they gave him great honor, the innkeeper and his whole family. They recognized he was the famous Nazi. Yosef Akomishtabach. So Yosef and Prachi was sitting and praising them. Kamen no Achsanya Zu, what a great Achsanya this is. Now that word Achsanya has a double meaning. It can mean an inn, but Achsanya being a feminine noun can also mean the woman innkeeper, the wife of the innkeeper. Mm-hmm. So Amalei Echad Mitalmidov, so the Echad Mitalmidov, Yeshua Nozi, says to him, no, in Aramaic it can have an elephant. Amalei Echad Mitalmidov, Rebbe, now Trutis, what's so great about it? Or eyes are Trutis, round, or Rashi says round, there's other places where Rashi says that Trutis, or Tosafos talks about that Trutis may mean narrow, whatever it is, she's not so attractive. Amalei Rosh, Kachat HaIsik, that's what you're involved in, looking at other people's wives, and you think, I'm involved in that. Apik Abim Meir Shippuri Vashanti, took out 400 shofars and put them in Cherem. It shows how serious it was. Kol continues the story. Kol Yoma also Kameh like Kiblei. Every day from then on, this Yeshu was coming to try and ask Mechila from Yeshua ben Prachi, and he didn't want to accept him. Yoma Chad have a Kol Krishma. One day he came while Yeshua ben Prachi was saying Krishma, also Kameh, and this Talmud came. Have a B'day to the Kabuli. At that point, Yeshua ben Prachi figured, you know what, already I'll accept him. Enough is enough.
How do we know that?
Because we know later on he
what happened to the
possible. I mean, that gets into the question whether the Yeshua Notzri of this is the same one that which you talked about before.
He said later on, I had intention to
Achve Leviyot. He said he made him a signal with his hand, as in, wait, let me finish Krishna. Sova mitchatochile, but this Talmud misinterpreted as go away. Although Zokath Levain, so they took and then stood up a brick, Polcha, and started worshipping it as a god. Amalei, so later on, Yeshua ben Pachi finds him, he says, Chazer Boch, do tshuva. Amalei, and he answers him the same thing as Gechazi answered to Elisha, Kach Mekublani, Mimcha, I have the following Kabbalah from you, Kalachot, you must be, I said, Amen, I speak, we had a lot of tshuva. Anybody who sins and causes the many people to sin, because evidently he caused a lot of people to follow him in this, and I speak, we had a lot of tshuva, David doesn't give him a chance to do tshuva. Again, the same answer could have been with Gechazi, doesn't mean David won't allow it, just means it won't make it possible, whatever. The Amamar, as in fact, the Braisa says, Kishif, Yeshu, Kishif, the Hissis, V'yidiach, the Hechdi Yisrael. He did Kishif, he was a Mesis, he convinced people to worship of it. He was a Mediach, convincing whole cities, the Hechdi Yisrael, and then he made the Jewish people sin. Tanya, we learned a Braisa, Rav Shimon Elazar, Yeshu, Tinik, V'isha, Te Smel, Derech, Yin, Min, Mekarevus. We said before that you should always have Smel, Derech, Yin, Min, Mekarevus. We're saying specifically, when it comes to Yetzer, which Rashi says means the Yetzer of Tashmish, you can't be completely bringing it close because the person has to learn to control themselves. On the other hand, you don't want to push it away completely because the person needs to do pre-verdivia. Same thing with a teenager, with a child. You can't push him away completely. Who knows what will happen to him, but you can't give in to everything he wants either. And Isha, the same idea. So all those cases, Smol Derech Abiyim in the Karevus. You have to have the left hand pushing away and the right hand drawing close. So,
What do you see that these Talmidim are contained in this memory?
What do you mean?
How does the Torah Yetzer Tino Kisha?
No, more generally we're saying La'olam Tei Smol Derech Abiyim in the Karevus. Specifically, Rav Shimon Elazar is applying it to these three things. Okay, Mishnah says, Nimsa heard a God. So that's the two different ways of looking at it. Because Yeshua ben Prachi lived in the middle of the time of the Second Beis Mikdash. Yanai lived 100 years before the Christians say that their Yosef lived. So how could it be the same person? So that's what Ramban says it's like not true, that it is the same person and they moved him later. But the Rabbi Chiel of Paris says that the other way around, that it's two different people. Mishnah says, Nimsa Ahura Gachla Nerfa Egg. What if they find the killer of the, remember, they found a body in the fields over there outside the city. That's what they're doing the whole Egzadra for the whole to-do. So now, if you find the killer, Achla Nerfa Egla, before the Egla was decapitated, take it, a Tirba Eder, then no problem. You let it go out and pasture with the other animals in the flock. It's not considered osir. Now, Rashi points out that actually, no, there's a discussion in the Sefer Krisus that says there's a machloikus on that. There's an opinion, the Gemara says over there, that as soon as they bring it down into the Nachal, like even before they've done the Arifa, it already becomes also Bana. So Rashi says, evidently, our Mishnah is not going like that. On the other hand, the Rambam paskins both of them, and therefore, the notes of Kalim and the Rambam explain, the Rambam would say that what it means is that the Gemara over there means when you bring it down to the Nachal, if it ends up that you end up decapitating it, if you end up doing the whole Ezra procedure, then retroactively to then it was also, which would mean if somebody had Hanah from it during that time, they'd be Chayim. As opposed to if it happens, as we're saying over here, you found the killer before you ever do it, then you can just let it go. There's no, it's not considered to be also.
Found the killer, he was Mode, or you had whole based in?
Doesn't matter. I mean, the point is we found who the killer was. Yeah. Missionaire for Egla, if you find him only after the Egla was decapitated, to cover him, fine, you bury it where it was done. Shal Sofik Vasim Itchilasa, because after all, the whole reason it was brought to begin with was because of a Sofik. Keep a Sveik of a Hochalosa, fine, it was Machapra on the Sofik, they didn't know who killed this person, and that's that. It's the equivalent kind of bringing of an Oshem Toleri and afterwards finding out. But the Oshem Toleri is still a valid Oshem. What if you do the Egla Arufa and then you find the killer? You still kill him. You don't say the Egla Arufa has taken care of the thing, therefore you don't have to kill him. No. We'll learn on Amad Beis, we have a pasuk for it. Aid echad omer reisi etzahorik, if you have one aid saying, I saw who the killer was, aid echad omer lo reisa, and another aid says, no, you didn't see, I was there also and you didn't see. There's another gears that says, lo reisi, I didn't see. Which would mean two of them were there at the same time, and then one of them says, I saw, and the other one says, I didn't. Yeah. So that, or lawyer, you see, I didn't see.
No,
he saw would mean that he's contradicting. Yeah.
He saw,
okay, but either way.
But it's not good. He
That's right. But wait. Isha emeres to isi, v'isha emeres loy ro'is. If a woman says, I saw, and another woman says, you didn't see, how you open, then they did do the eglah rufa. We'll discuss it on a day. We'll discuss it on a day whether we stick to that.
But they don't have a woman don't...
Wait, we'll get to it. We'll get to it. So how you open, they would still do the eglah rufa. If one aid says I saw and two aidim contradict him and say you didn't see, how you open, then they would do the eglah rufa. If two aidim come and said we saw who the killer was, and one person says you didn't see, then they don't do the eglah rufa. We'll discuss. Basically, the gemara that we're going to discuss on this is going to recap. It's going to recap a similar gemara that we had a couple of weeks ago about the soiter. If you have one aid versus two aidim, women versus other women, men versus women, etc., we're going to have the same men. Mishnah says, Mishir Rabu HaRoitzchanin, once Roitzchim increased, Bapla Eglah Rufa, then Eglah Rufa was Bapla. Because the whole idea behind the Eglah Rufa is that you don't know who the killer was. Once murder became more common, then you're very likely you know who tends to be the killers. Right? One of the first, I think, the Pharisee, and give another interesting reason why, because once there's a lot of, we said before that the place where you do the Eglah Rufa, you're never allowed to work that land. If it's going to become too common, pretty soon the whole Eretz Yisrael is not going to be able to, yeah. This was specifically Mishabah Eliezer, Elazar ben Dinai, when Elazar ben Dinai came along, or Tchina ben Prisha Hayanikra. He was also called, some of Farshim say that it means that Tchina ben Prisha is another name for him. He was called Elazar ben Dinai, and he was also called Tchina ben Prisha. Marshal said he was like a lot of criminals, they have a lot of aliases. Other Mepharshim talk about that maybe Tchina is another person. There's Elazar ben Dinai and Tchina, two famous murderers, and they called him ben Prisha because he was Polish from the proper way. Later on, they started calling him the son of the murderous person. It's interesting, actually. Josephus mentions in his history that about 20 years before the Churban, he mentions a character named Elazar ben Dinius, which for Pashtus is Elazar ben Dinai, who was a well-known bandit and robber who was active in the 20 years or so before the Churban. Pashtus is the same person. Okay, so at that point, they were vassal the Eglah Rufa. Other examples of things that were bottled. So there were too many murders. Other examples. Because the point is, the whole point of Eglah Rufa is you don't know who the murderer was, but if you know who, if you have a very good idea who it is, you're not able to kill him.
Why?
Either because he's too powerful politically or whatever. I mean, the truth is, actually, if this Allah has been denied, maybe. The truth is, if this Elazar ben Dinai is the same one that Josephus is talking about, he mentions him only in the 20 years before the Churban. 40 years before the Churban, anyway, the Sanhedrin had left the Lushka to go, anyway, can't execute him. So there you go, then. Mishadabu Amenafim, another thing. Not because of Beis Din, but they couldn't do Din in a Fashas anymore, yeah. Mishrabu Amenachim, once there became a lot of adulterers, Paskalamayim Arayim, Amorim, and they stopped doing the Mei Soita. Well, because they won't be effective anymore. We learned before in the Masechta, and we'll talk more about Arun Bey, that only if the man is Menukame Ovid, only if he's clear of Averis involving Vias Asuris, only then is the water effective, if not, then not. So Rambam says, actually, that if a husband who's guilty of any of these kinds of Averis goes and brings his wife to do the Mei Soita, he's doing a double Avera. Because he's causing that the Eivishter name is being erased for nothing. So, yeah. Then Ramban puts it differently, that only as long as the Jewish people were on this high level did they have this chus that the Mayim Amorim will have their effects and then keep the Jewish people pure. Once the level deteriorated, they're not zoicha for that anymore.
When you think Menuchin Avon, from what? From that particular sin?
No, so earlier in the Masechta, Rashi had said that specifically the Menuchin Avon means that the husband was not Baal Ishta, that he didn't have relations with her after she became a Soita. The Rambam says more generally, he means Bias Asuris.
So he did Juba at that point. Make any difference? Or
I don't know if it makes a difference, but whatever. I mean, there were people who hadn't done Juba. But Rabbi Yechim and Zakeh Hefsikin, it was Rabbi Yechim and Zakeh who stopped doing the Mei Soita. Shenema, the Pasuk says, Lo efkid al b'nei seichem ki tiznena, the Eivishter said to the Navi, I'll not look after your daughters when they're mizaneh, v'al kala seichem ki tiznena afna, or on your daughters-in-law when they commit adultery. Ki heim v'goyim, as the Pasuk continues, they, meaning the men, ima, the Gemara will quote on them, ima zonis yiparedu, they're involved in zonis, and the men are not so pure yet. Other examples, yeah, but that's the point. In other words, once there came the point when the men are not where they should be, then already they're not zeicha for the Mayim Amarim. Mishemes Yosef ben Yehezir, Shtreid of Yosef ben Yochanan, it's supposed to be not Yehuda, Ishir Shalayim. the first of the Zogos, we know them from Pirkei Avot, when they died, Batlu ha-Eshkolos. The Eshkolos became Batlu. What's Eshkolos? Rashi says Eshkolos short for Isha Kol Ba'en, a person who has everything in them. They were the last people who knew all of Torah perfectly, and there was no machlokas. At the end of their life, they had the one machlokas in the din of smicha, which the Gemara, which the Mishnah discusses in Chagiga. But up until that point, it was absolutely clear. There is shakobah. They have everything. Shenemar, the pasuk says, "Ein eshkol lechol." There's no eshkol. There's no cluster of grapes to eat. Bikura ibsanafshi. My soul desires a first ripened fruit. You know, there comes a point when there's no more eshkolos among the Jewish people. That was it. Yochanan and other examples of things that eventually were abolished for one reason or another. Yochanan Kohen Gadol Hever Hadayis HaMeiser. So Yochanan Kohen Gadol took away the Vidri Meiser, the declaration, the thing that you declare in Beis Mikdash or wherever it is, that you declare Biyaki HaKodesh Min HaBayis, that I've given all my Meisers away. The Gemara will discuss why he did that. Yeah. Who this Yochanan Kohen Gadol was, by the way, there's a bit of discussion also. The Rambam says it's not the Yochanan Kohen Gadol who was 80 years of Kohen Gadol and then became a Tzaddiki, but rather an earlier one. It's mashma from the Rambam that it may have been the one that we've been saying for 8 days in Al Nisim, Matas Yochanan Yochanan Kohen Gadol. So you'd have been before Sashmanayim, even before they became prominent. There are other people who say that it means a later Yochanan, one of the descendants of Matas Yochanan. Anyway. Afu bitulas ma'orin v'sanokvin. He also abolished the ma'orin and the nokvin. So the Gemara will explain that they are. Ma'orin is when in the Beis Mikdash they would say the pasuk Ura v'masishan Hashem, and nokvin is that they used to do something to the korban in order to stun it so they could more easily shecht it. And the Gemara will discuss later on Memchet what exactly was going on over here. Also, ad yom avoya patish makad Yerushalayim, up until his time, there were hammers banging in Yerushalayim, meaning during Chol HaMoed. People would be doing work, which is davar ha'avad. We learned in Moed Kodesh. No, if it's davar ha'avad, you're allowed to. If it's davar ha'avad, if it's something that has to be done then, so it's time sensitive, then it's fine. But he said that, no, you know what, it's true, there is a din of davar ha'avad, but not when it comes to doing things loudly with a hammer, because that's very loud. Not everybody knows the davar ha'avad, therefore people are going to think that you're allowed to do work on Chol HaMoed.
People far away don't see what's going on.
The family in Israel started living with Mandarin. If it's using the family to wash the vesh, the wash in the dryer was working
Shabbos. Mm.
The boy did it.
Right.
The pumpkin. So the boy didn't make a muffin. We did it with Mother Science, because people here, the coin, so they wouldn't know what's going on, so that's all he asked.
And in the time of Yechon and Kohen Gadol, nobody had to ask about Dmai, whether Meisers had been taken, because... No, because the Gemara we'll talk about, we're not going to get to it today, realistically, unless we learn more after Meisers, but we'll learn in the Gemara what exactly he did as far as Dmai to make it that nobody needs to ask. He made the Takana of Dmai, basically. He made the Takana of what needs to be done.
Does mean they knew exactly...
Yeah, we'll see. Turn it up. So how do we know that if the Egla was decapitated and then you find the killer, you don't pater him, you don't say, well, the Egla has been brought, that's enough. No, the ground of Eretz Yisrael, the land, will not be forgiven for the blood that was spilled in it, except with the blood of the killer. He has to be executed, in other words. The Mishnah said, "Eda chad omer reisei tahor."
A lot of people do that.
You should stop. That's the point. In other words, yeah, you shouldn't think that. Okay, but that's the point. You shouldn't think that maybe whatever.
So how are we going to stop it?
So that's we'll get Adam and we'll execute him. We said that if one aide says I saw the killer, and we had one aide say not, and we went back and forth through the different possibilities. So time of the machishle. So we said if you have one aide says I saw, and the other one says I didn't see, or you didn't see, as the case may be, machishle is contradicting. Holei machishle, which implies if he doesn't contradict him, aide achad mehemah, that one aide would be believed. You can't execute the killer on that basis, but it's enough to not bring an egla rufa. How do we know that? That one aide, knowing who the killer is enough to not bring an egla rufa. The turn up, I don't know. We're doing it in a partial TV 280, but that's the point. How do we know that one aide saying, I know who the killer is enough to not bring an egg la rofa? The turn up, I don't know. We're doing it in a place. So when the pastor says, Loi noida mihikohu, we don't know who killed this person, whose body we found, ha noida mihikohu, which implies that if you know who killed him, I feel like echa b'sefer olam, even if there's just somebody at the other end of the world, Loi hoya ofen, then they can't do egg la rofa. Rabbi Akiva, minayim a Sanhedrin shiro echad jehorat sanhepesh vein makirinoi. So how do we know also if a Sanhedrin sees somebody killing another person, vein makirinoi, but they don't recognize him, they couldn't pick him out of a lineup, but they saw it actually happen. Shaloi hayorot, and they can't do the egla rofa. Tamad loimah, veineinu lo'do, v'alo'do. So the pasuk says they have to be able to declare, our eyes didn't see. And in this case, their eyes saw. Okay. So therefore, so that's the bottom line, is because the pasuk says, loim noida mihikahu, implies that if anybody knows who it was, even one aide, then no egla rofa. Okay. Well, hash the damage to eidach of mehemen, we'll find. And if you're going to say one aide is believed, idachad heichimati machishle, then how could another aide come and contradict him? And we said, but then you'll do egla rofa. Any place where the Torah believes one aid, then he's the equivalent of two. You can't have one against two. So once when the second person shows up and says, the first is considered two, and the second person shows up, we should throw that out. Yeah?
Two show up.
We'll talk about that, but wait. So Ullah says, you're right, you have to change the wording in the Mishnah to say that they don't do the egla rofa in that case. Because you have the original aide, who is the equivalent of two, who says, I saw who the killer was, and that's it. No egla rofa, the fact that somebody contradicts him later doesn't change that. Same thing Rabbi Yitzchak says also, you have to change the words of the Mishnah to say, loy ha'yorfin. However, Rabbi Chiyah amar tani ha'yorfin. No, Rabbi Chiyah says, no, you do have to learn in the Mishnah exactly what it says, that you do the arifa. Okay, fine, and you have, so how does that work with what we just said, that he's considered the equivalent of two? And again, this is the same as we had on Daf Lamed Aleph in connection with the Eidus and Asoita. Depends whether the two Eidim came at the same time or whether they came one after the other. So exactly. So if they come at the same time, then one of them is no stronger than the other. So therefore, you're back to it as if there's no Eidim, therefore you're open. If one of them comes, and later on, another one, we talked about then what is the Vasachas versus the Zachazet, that may never there. Rashi had said it meant after Toshkede Dibur, Toshkede said it meant after Basin
and
Paskind.
And the Rambam says?
The Rambam, I don't remember what he says. Tanan, we learn it, let's consider, we learn in our Mishnah, Eidach Adomer Re'isi at the Hore, if one aid says, I saw the Kibur, Shnai Remen Lo Re'isa, and now is your point, where two come and say, you didn't see, Ho Yu Ofen, then you do the Egla Rofa, which implies, Ho Chad V'Chad Lo Yu Ofen, but if it's one against one, you don't do Egla Rofa. Two of the Dibchia, that seems to be a contradiction to Dibchia. Okay, the Gemara answers back to time Meich, so according to your own logic, Eva Sefer, look at the next part of the Mishnah, Shnai Maimim Re'inu Ve'edach Ha'Omer Lo Re'isem. It says if two people say we saw, and one person says you didn't, Lo Yehoi Ofen, then you don't do the Egla Rofa, because you have two Eidim, Ha'chad V'chad Hoi Ofen, implying if it was only one and then one, then you would do the Egla Rofa, which is what Rabbi is saying. So the Mishnah itself seems to be contradictory. You have to say, our Mishnah is all talking, these one or two people who are coming are not regular Kosher Eidim. They're all psulei eidus. The chidur of Nechemia, and then we're going like what Nechemia said. The Amar kol makom she'amina Torah eid echad, wherever the Torah believes one aid, as in our case, or in the case of the Torah of Asoita, a couple of other cases, holach achal roiv deis. And what you do is you go according to the majority of people who are testifying. So therefore, two women testifying against one man who's a psulei eidus are the equivalent of two men against one. So in other words, when the Mishnah is saying, in other words, that if you have two people saying we saw and one saying you didn't, we're talking about all three of them are postulators.
And that's postulators come and testify.
Because that's why. Because even though they're normally postulators, they're Ganovim or whatever it is exactly, nevertheless, for this purpose, we accept what they're saying. But we go according to the majority. The Ikadamri, a different version, no, if you have one kosher aid comes to begin with, then you don't say this rating the number of people. Then you say one kosher aid to begin with, then even if 100 women afterwards come to contradict him, or 100 psula aiders, then they're considered the equivalent of one. So they can't contradict him. So what are we talking about? You have to say the cases where a woman came to begin with. And we have to understand what Rav Nechemia is saying is as follows. Rav Nechemia, kol mokum she'amina Torah eid echad, wherever the Torah believes one eid, holach achad roiv deis, you go according to the majority of opinions, but not, before we were saying that it doesn't matter what order they come in. Now we're changing it a little bit, because we say if one kosher to eid comes first, then you're right, he's considered the absolute majority. What we're saying, but also, shtei nashim be'ish achad, k'shnei nashim be'ish echad, two women against one, or like two men against one. But if you have one man with kosher comes first, and then you have two women come later against him, then it's considered like half and half. So it's considered the equivalent of one against one, in other words. Hey, the Tajik Sula Edis Lomali, so why does the Mishnah have to tell us two cases involving Sula Edis? The answer is, because you might argue that you only go according to the majority of people when it's Lachumra. In this case, for example, to make an Eglad Rufa be brought. Aval Lakula Loi, but maybe you would argue not Lakula. So if you had, in other words, if you had one Pasul Edis, let's say, for two Pasul Edis first, who came and said, that the one Pasul Edis, let's say, who came and said that I know who the killer was, therefore there'll be a Kula, there's no Eglad Rufa. Now, whatever, we want to make a Kula where there's not going to be an Eglad Rufa on the basis of the second Edim, maybe we shouldn't say that. Kamash Malon, that we go according to the majority regardless of whether it's the Kula or the Chumra. Shagabu writes, in Chula, Mishnah had said that when murderers became common, they stopped Eglad Rufa. Turn around, Bonham, Shagabu are a ton and Bapa Eglad Rufa. Lufi Shayna Ba, Elal Safik, because it only comes for the purpose of the Safik. Mishrabu, it's Chonin Begoli. So once there starts to be a lot of public, open murderers, Batla Eglad Rufa, at that point, the Eglad Rufa is Batla because the purpose of it is gone. Mishrabu, and Chola, we said in the Mishnah that once adulterers increase, then they stop the Mesaita. Tanarabanin, because the Pasuk says, Nika Ishme Oven, the man will be cleansed from guilt. What does that mean? It's at the end of the parasha of Sotah. The simple meaning of it, Rashi says, is the husband shouldn't worry if his wife is killed by the Mesaita, maybe somehow I'm guilty for death. No, you did what you were supposed to. But we also learn from it, when the man is clean of Averis, as the Rambam said, B.S.S.R.S., then the water will test his wife. If he himself is not clean of these kinds of Averis, then the water doesn't test his wife. But Omer, and you also have the Pasuk that we quoted in the Mishnah, because the Eved says, I'm not going to bring punishment on your daughters when they're Mizana. What do we need the second Pasuk for? The answer is because you might argue based on the first pasuk of the day in, maybe only fine. If the husband himself is guilty of such averus, then it will prevent the Mesoja from working. But maybe not averus of his sons and daughters, which Tosfos Rosh points out, we're talking about where he knows that they're doing wrong and doesn't protest. If he doesn't know, that doesn't prevent it. But if he knows that they're doing wrong and he doesn't protest, that's consent.
And if he knows and protests,
if he knows and protests, then he knows he's not going to bring his wife to the Mesaita because he knows already that they're doing wrong and he's not able to stop it. So therefore, we need the second pasuk for that. For Omer, the Tashma, that's why we need the second. I'm not going to bring punishment on your daughters when they're Mizana, but I'll call a second piece in the Afna and on your daughters-in-law when they do Niyuv. And v'chitema oven eshet ish ein oven depnuya loy. So you might argue maybe this only applies if they're doing an aveda involving an eshet ish. How do you know that it also applies even if they're doing avedas with a pnuya, which is not an isur karis or skill or whatever? Toshma kiim amazonis kiheim imazonis yiporedu. But the pasuk continues. The pasuk according to the Mishnah. Because they, meaning the husband, are getting together with the zonis. You probably do with a couple of different explanations, whether the lashon pirdo like a mule, like they're acting promiscuously like mules, or does it mean the lashon like they're separating women from their husbands, whatever.
The makadesha,
if you have beichel, and they bring karbonis together with kadesha. The kadesha is the Rambam holds that a pnuya is also. Why do you get malchus for relations with a pnuya? The Rambam says because it says like the kadesha. Therefore, being a kadesha means unmarried women. The Rambam's definition of a kadesha is having relations outside of marriage, even with a pnuya. The Raiva disagrees with that, but okay. So, because we're starting out, I'm not going to visit a punishment on your daughters when they're mizana. What would normally be the punishment? Meisota. David's just saying, I'm not going to do that anymore. What does it mean? The end of that same pasuk continues that a people that does not understand you love it will be confused. A few different explanations among the first ones. You love it means whatever. Means the Navi is telling the Jewish people, you're wondering, you love it, you're like thinking, and why is the Mesoja all of a sudden not working anymore? Because you need to realize, if you're careful about yourself, to stay free of Averis, then the water will test your wife. So now, having spoken about the Eglad Rufa and Mesoja that were discontinued because of the decline in generations, so now the Gemara is going to go into some other examples of things where things started going wrong in Jewish society. Mishirabu Bale Hana, when there became people who are into having pleasure, Nisabsua Dinim, and the Dinim became crooked because since the Bale Hana means I don't want to go to the Tircha thinking carefully into what the Din should be. And people's actions became ruined because nobody's teaching the people the right thing. And therefore, the Eibishter has no nachas ruach with the world. Another thing, when there became people who look at people's faces in judgment, in other words, who favor one person over the other, but the loisa guru, so they're the pasuk that says, don't be afraid of any litigant, became bottle. And also there stops the thing, loisakiru ponim amishra, that you're not allowed to favor one person over the other. Upoku el shamayim, and they cast off the yoke of the Eibishter, but not only of us of Adam, and they wound up with the yoke of flesh and blood, meaning they came under Goyish rule. And instead of being able to go to the Batidin, they end up having to go to the Goyish court. When there became a lot of people who whisper to the judges, Rashi says, they're like lawyers. They whisper to the judges to find the grounds for ruling in favor of this guy. Rav Charen Af Bisrael, that caused great anger of the Eibishter against the Jewish people. When the Stalkaf Shechina and the Shechina left, because the pasuk says that Hashem judges among Elikim, among valid Dayanim, but they're not acting like valid Dayanim anymore. They shouldn't be, but once you have somebody whispering in your ear, it's very hard to not listen to them. So
they can rebuke them and move away.
Yes, but if they're not, then yeah.
Money.
Not necessarily even money, but just, you know, you have somebody who, think of it, you have somebody who's on your wavelength, who, like, you know, he knows the dinim similar to you. You know, you get into a conversation with such a person, it has an effect on you, yeah. When you have a great number of people who follow, their heart follows their monetary gain, then you started having a lot of people who call evil good and who call good evil. They praise the Rishayim, Chanufa, as we talked about a week ago. We haven't gotten to Yehirim yet. You're skipping a line. Once you had people who want to follow their monetary gain or their hana in general, Rashi says, then there started to be more people that call good evil, that call evil good and good evil, people who don't know what's right and what's wrong. And once you started having a lot of such people, Rabbi Hoy Hoy Ba'olam, that caused a great woe in the world. Hoy is an expression that in Yeshaya, as it is many psukim over there, that begin with Hoy, woe. That's all caused by this. The Shirabu Moshe Heroik, when there started being a lot of people who extend their spit. Now, what does that mean? Rashi says, literally, Ma'arich and Heroik. Like they sort of like they take their time spitting. Umidas Gaiva. Rashi says it's like an expression of Gaiva. Like they won't even spit in the normal way. They're like pretending like they're too refined to. Yeah, I've seen other explanations also, including that maybe it means the equivalent of what they call nowadays a tachas lecher, you know, or somebody who a brown nose or whatever. Yeah. Anyway, Rabu Hayyidim, that caused there to be a lot more proud people. Vinismatra Tamidim, and there's much fewer Tamidim because Tamidim, so Rashi says, because Daiva goes together with the poverty of Torah. A different explanation, I think Marshall says. It makes a person poor of Torah. I think Marsha says a different explanation. Once the people are proud, they're too proud to go learn Torah from other rabbis, and they think they can do it all themselves. But Torah chazeres alam der, and the Torah is like having to circulate around among the people who are learning it. Is the Torah going to be able to? The Torah is like having to look for people who will be willing to learn it. Once there started being a lot of proud people, then Jewish women started marrying these proud people. Because in our generation, people only look at the outside; they only look at the chatzonius. So therefore, they see these proud people. They think they're great people. Yeah. So you might ask, Amy, you're telling me that people want to marry proud people? Well, I'm a man, but we learn in a blight. A high man to me, yaha, or not a blight, or whatever, a murder said. High man to me, yaha, if somebody is proud, I feel in she basically a trouble. Even the people of his household don't want to accept him, don't think him acceptable. Shanema, the apostle says, Gever Yohir, a proud person, v'lo yinava, and he will not yinava. What does yinava mean? Lo yinava, afilu b'nava shaloi. Even in his own house, they don't consider him anything. So then, Abba, who would want to marry a proud person? The answer is, mi'ikra kaftale. What happens is, because people look only at the outside, first they're eager to marry such a person, they see they're proud, they seem to be a great person. All of a sudden, mitzvah alayah, and in the end, when they realize that he's all hat and no cattle, as the expression goes, then they start feeling, and then they start treating him contemptuously. Another one, Mishudabu Matilim Malaya Balabatim, once you had a greater number of Dayanim who put the responsibility on Balabatim to run their businesses for them. You would have not really run their businesses, but you would have like a Dayan would have money. He would invest it with one of the local Balabatim in order that the Balabas should be able to invest it for him properly. Once that started, Rabba Hashaycha, that increased the amount of bribery, Latayas Mishpat, and perverting justice, or Poska Tova, and goodness went away. Technically, there are certain cases we can, but it's not really, it is. So therefore, it's something that would have to be managed very carefully, yeah.
But it can.
In theory, there's ways, I think, but I'm not sure about it. When you had a greater number of people who are saying, I'm willing to accept your favors and I'm willing to owe you for these favors, you started having a lot more where people do according to what they see as fit in their own eyes. The low ones became raised up. Because the greater people are not the lesser people are not afraid of the greater people anymore. And the greater ones were brought low. And the kingship of the Jewish people also the Navla where it became more and more degraded. When there started being a lot of people who are stingy, who don't want to help, who don't want to give other people from their money, and Tofei Keref, Rashi says it means Gazlonim. Marshall says that Tofei Keref actually means like speculators who like hoard grain or whatever in order to sell it at inflated prices. Once that happened, Rabu Ma'amsele, there became a lot more people who closed up their heart from giving tzedakah, the Kofsi Yadayim, and then closing up their hands, Mila Halvois, from lending poor people money. And at that point, they're being Oivram, what the Torah says, that you should be careful not to say, it's coming Shemitah, how can I give this person a loan? I'm going to lose it. Which, in fact, was what impelled Hillel to make the Takana of Prozbo, because he saw that this was becoming a big problem, that people are being Oivram, the Sisser. People were not lending money, especially before Shemitah, because they figured we're going to lose it, so therefore Hillel had to make the Takana of the Prozbo. We'll learn about it in a month or two in Gittin, that's the Shem. Once there started being a lot of women who go about with Natuyas Gordon, with their heads, with their necks held high, or Masakris Inayim, with their eyes winking or painted or whatever to attract men, Rabu Maim Amarim, then at that point the amount of Maim Amarim became more because you have more husbands are doing kinry for their wives, so therefore you have a lot more Maim Amarim being administered. Elo Shapostu, but as we said in our Mishnah, eventually it got to the point where they had to stop doing it. Because it didn't work, because there came a point already where the husbands already are going in. Mishurabu Makabli Matonis, once he had more people who were accepting gifts, Nismatu Ayomen, people's years became shorter, because Sayyid Matonis Yechia, the Pasuk says that the Niskatu Ashanim, people's years became shorter, just give Sayyid Matonis Yechia, because the Pasuk says the person who hates gifts will live, implying, and the opposite is also true. Mishurabu, probably stop for my rib, and maybe if you guys are up to it, let's continue a little bit afterwards and try to catch up.